Anybody see the movie Finding Nemo? Anybody remember that? Huh? Yeah. So in it, there is a couple of key players. There is, well, basically fish, Nemo and Dory. And when Nemo finds a place in his life where he's a little bit discouraged, Dory comes up to him and says, Nemo, you need to keep on swimming, keep on swimming, keep on swimming. Dory knows that if he fails to continue to swim, that he probably won't survive. So he's in a low spot, discouraged, disconnected from his family, and Dory is encouraging to just keep swimming, just keep swimming. Many years ago, when I was around college age, we went, me and some college, well, it was a college ministry, we went whitewater rafting. We did this 2 years in a row, and we had a lot of fun. We went and camped, and none of us had been whitewater rafting before. And so I remember they're kind of going over, you know, what to do and how to respond, especially when you get to the rapids. When the water is calm, it's easy. You just sit there and you float down the river. But when you're approaching rapids, of course, if there's rapids, that means there's rocks and sometimes even boulders. And I remember the one thing that they emphasized over and over again, when you're going into the rapids and you're about to hit a rock, the important thing is to keep paddling, keep paddling, keep paddling, keep paddling. In fact, they would sell shirts that would say paddle or die. And the whole idea is that when you're going into those, the tendency is to just kind of freeze. And they're like, you don't want to do that. You want to keep paddling. You want to lean into the rapids. But more importantly, you just want to keep paddling and paddling. We have to keep moving or as though it's a matter of life or death. And they almost make it sound that way, like you need to paddle. It could be a matter of life or death. Now, I don't think too many people die whitewater rafting, but there can be some dangers if you don't handle it the right way. The premise, though, the bottom line is we need to keep moving. Medical science even tells us that one of the most important factors pertaining to good health is what? Movement, is exercise, right? They tell us that a body that is in motion, what? It stays in motion. That means that it's much easier to keep something moving that's already moving. It's a lot easier to keep something in motion that's already in motion than to start it moving from a stationary position. We know that to be true. So they encourage everyone, no matter what age, to just keep moving. To just keep moving. Well, I believe that truth is parallel. So what that means is what is true in the natural is also true in the spiritual. And momentum is paramount. Keep moving. Movement is evidence that there is still life, right? If something is moving, it's evidence that it's still alive. And what do we know about where there's life? There is hope. And where there is hope, there is potential for miracles and signs and wonders. So it's important that we keep moving. I love our text today. I've read it before. And when I read it this time, I was like, wow, I just really love this text in what it means or how it speaks to us. And I hope that it will do the same for you as we kind of break it down. It's Ezekiel chapter 47, so we're in the Old Testament today, and we're going to start reading in verse 1, work our way through, I guess, verse 9 or so. Now, there is a ton to unpack in these 9 verses, certainly way more than we can do in just a few minutes today, but I believe that what we have today will be a blessing to you nonetheless. So here we are in chapter 47 of the book of Ezekiel. The top of the right above that, it says, the river from the temple. Starting in verse 1, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. I want you to remember that, coming from south of the altar. He brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside, or to the outside, to the outer gate facing east, and the water was flowing from the south side. As the man went eastward with the measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits. And then he led me through the water that was ankle deep. He measured off 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water that was knee deep. He measured off 1,000 and led me through the water that was up to the waist. He measured off 1,000 cubits, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in. A river that no one would cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. And then in verse 7, when I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. And he said to me, "This water flows towards the eastern region, then goes down into Araba, where it enters into the sea. When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will be wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish, because this water flows from there and makes the salt water fresh, so that where the river flows, everything will live." It's a lot to unpack. And at face value, it seems like kind of a bizarre story that Ezekiel would share. We're looking at the text, at this powerful revelation about how the stream became a river. This trickle of water became a river. But why did it become a river? Not because there was more water, and because of the water changed from God's side. But the stream became a river because of the Ezekiel's proximity. The deeper he went, the deeper it got. Think about that. The deeper he went, the deeper the water got. And I believe that the same thing is true of you and I. It's through or by our proximity to God or his presence, his power and his glory is expressed, is increased, is manifested to us, and in us, and through us. And the deeper we go, the deeper it gets. Some things I want to point out here about this story. Pay special attention to where the river came from. It came from out of the temple. Now that's crazy, right? Like all of a sudden there's just water flowing from the temple. The temple represents what? The place where God lives. And the temple represents God's presence. And notice that everything starts at the door. Jesus is the door into the Father's house. And the Father's presence. And Scripture tells us that no one can come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. God's word says that if you don't come through the door, Jesus says you're a thief and a robber. Then notice that this river flowed out from under the right side of the altar. Just picture it for a moment. Here's the altar, here's the temple, and here's the right side of the altar, and all of a sudden there's just water trickling from the altar and out the door. What is the altar? The altar is a place of surrender. The altar is a place of sacrifice. The altar is the place where self-will is crucified. The altar is where our wills and our plans and our desires must die so that Christ's life can manifest itself through us. That's what the altar is. Just as Moses had to remove his shoes from his feet in order to fulfill his promise, the altar is where we remove our shoes of personal ambition and self-will so we can embrace our divine destiny in Christ. If I can say it a little bit more bluntly, the altar is the place where the old man dies so that the new man can live. Where the old man dies so that the new man in Christ can live. And just like the water came from under the altar, we must under the weight of the altar on our flesh. We must live under the weight of the altar on our flesh every single day. Remember Jesus' words in Luke 9:23, and he said unto them all, if anyone come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. How often? Daily, and follow me. And then Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live is in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The river of God's presence and the power starts at the altar. It starts at the altar. And the depth of the work of the cross at the altar determines the depth and the width and the force and the power of the river through us. You see, first it's to us. And then it's in us. And then it is through us. The deeper that Ezekiel went into the river, the bigger the river got. In other words, the more that Ezekiel died to himself, the more the river of God's life could flow through him. The deeper his flesh went down, the stronger the flow of the river. That is what the Holy Spirit is saying to us today. There's more. There's more. See, the Christian life is progressive. Progressive death and progressive life. The more you die, the more you receive life. The more you surrender, the more you fully live. It doesn't matter where or how mature you are or how anointed you are, the truth is, we haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen anything yet. There is no place to get comfortable and complacent. The truth is, the Christian life is not automatic. We have to choose to keep moving deeper and deeper and deeper, surrendering more and more, and dying to ourselves more and more and more so that we can live bigger and bigger and bigger. The truth is, we have to let go of comfortable, convenient, and the familiar. The truth is, we have to progressively choose to boldly and aggressively press and stretch ourselves into going deeper. He started out in a trickle, and then he went into ankle deep, and then knee deep, and then waist deep. And then it got to the point where he couldn't even touch bottom. You have to choose to dive into the Word and search out the hidden riches that are found there. You have to choose to sanctify yourself from the world, excuse me, and live a holy life. You have to choose to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then God's word says, and then all things will be added unto you. You have to choose to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles us. The word says that we should count it all joy that when we face many trials. Why on earth would anyone say that? Why on earth would anyone say that, boy, when you are going through a trial, count it all joy? That sounds crazy. Why would we say that? I'll tell you why. Because if you're going through a tough time, you know what that means? It means you're still in the fight. If you're going through a tough time, that means you're not dead yet. If you're going through some tough times, that means you haven't been conquered yet. If you're going through some tough times, that means that there is still the possibility of you possessing that everything that God has promised you. If you're going through some tough times, that means that you're still disrupting hell, or the devil wouldn't be fighting so hard against you. So we have to keep moving. We have to keep moving. I want you to tell yourself this, or I want you to tell somebody else this. I'm going to go where I've never gone before. I'm going to see what I've never seen before. I'm going to hear what I've never heard before. I'm going to feel what I've never felt before. I'm going to do what I've never done before. I'm stepping into a new level of anointing in my life. Sickness and disease aren't going where I'm going. Poverty and lack can't go where I'm going. Fear and anxiety and stress cannot go where I'm going. You need to tell somebody that. You need to tell somebody, I'm going where I've never gone before, and fear can't go with me. And I'm stepping into a new level, and I'm going to do something I've never done before. You know what? Somebody's watching you. Somebody is watching me. Somebody is waiting for you to get across the river, to come through this valley, to walk into the fiery furnace, or walk out of the fiery furnace, I should say. Some people are already in the fiery furnace. Somebody's watching for you to walk out of it. Somebody's watching you or waiting for you to crawl out of the pit. You need to tell somebody that you're going to make it, because you're going to keep moving. We're going to make it if we keep moving. The text says that it started out as ankle-deep water, then knee-deep, then waist-deep, and then it got to the point where he couldn't touch anymore. It was too deep to walk anymore. To go any further, he had to what? He would have had to swim. He couldn't walk anymore. Because this is the place that transition happens, right? Up until now, his feet could touch the bottom. Up until now, he was still in some kind of control because his feet were on the ground. But now he has a choice to make. One more step, and I can't touch. One more step, and I'm going to be out of control of where I'm going. One more step, and I'm going to be left up to the flowing river to take me to wherever it wants to take me. That's what happens when we reach this place. And that is the place of decision. This is where you either enter into a whole new dimension or you turn around and settle into a lesser level. Up until this point, you're on your feet. And as long as you're on your feet, you can turn and go wherever you want. But interestingly enough, when you're standing on the ground in a river, there's the pressure of water up against the back of your legs, right? And you can feel it, and there's this pressure. And there's this pressure. It flows against you. But as long as you're on your feet, there is a resistance to the river's agenda, right? As long as you're on your feet, you're resisting You're resisting what the river really wants to do. The river wants to carry you down, but as long as you're standing on your feet, you're resisting it. I believe that the river represents the flow of the Holy Spirit. Going with the current of the river means that you are surrendered and yielded to the will and the plan of the Holy Spirit. The sad reality of it is many people will never take or make that transition. They'll go in ankle deep, and they'll go in knee deep, and they'll go in waist deep. Why? Because their feet are still on the ground. And they can still have the power and control to go where they want and move where they want to go. And they can still resist the flow of the Spirit. Because they won't go to that next place because their feet will no longer decide the direction of their life. At this place, your flesh is under the subjection to the Holy Spirit. And this is where the Holy Spirit decides when and where and how far you go. You see, when you take a step that you can know where your feet no longer touch, then the Holy Spirit decides where and how far and how fast you go. And you are out of control. You don't have control any longer. The Holy Spirit decides your stops and your starts. And your only support is the Holy Spirit. This means that you have left behind the land of logic. Because oftentimes where the Spirit wants to take you doesn't seem logical. And you've left behind the land of reasoning. And you're now in the dimension where faith alone is keeping you going. Everything you do now at this point is just what is necessary to stay with the flow of the Spirit. And this is where Jesus wants us to go. Jesus wants us to take that one more step to where our feet are no longer touching the ground. As I said, the reality is many people never make that transition. And the reason is fear. They're afraid. They don't know what to expect. And they're afraid of losing control. At this point of transition, something happens. Up until this point, Ezekiel is in the river, and he is experiencing the increasing intensity of the flow of the current of the river. Because the deeper you go, the more you feel the river. So the deeper he went when he was in waist-deep water, he had to feel the rush of the river against his back. But even though it was still intense, he still was under control of where he went and when he goes and how far he goes because his feet were still on the ground. In other words, he still is able to watch what he wants to watch, listen to what he wants to listen to, and go to wherever he wants to go. And aren't we just like that? We want to see what we want to see, go where we want to go, and hear what we want to hear. Here's the thing. God didn't overthrow Ezekiel's will. Every step Ezekiel took in the river was a willing participation of losing himself in the river. He willingly took the step. He willingly went from ankle to knee deep to waist deep into water where he could not touch. In other words, the river didn't overcome Ezekiel. Ezekiel gave himself to the river, just like Jesus did when he said, "Is there any other way? Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, your will be done." The will of God didn't overcome Jesus. Jesus walked into it. Jesus knew that he could have not submitted to it, but he did. The Lord's Prayer teaches us to pray, "Let thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The vision of Ezekiel is a vivid picture of the Christian life from converted to consumed, from ankle deep to being completely enveloped, from saved but still carnal, from saved but critical, from saved but still have a dirty mouth, From saved but still have habits and hang-ups. From saved but still bouncing back and forth. In the water, yes, but just barely. Just ankle deep. The old man is dying, but he's fighting it fiercely. He's being saved, but there's still a lot of flesh that is showing. He's still forgiven, but still having some problems forgiving others. Ankle-deep water is a dangerous place to be for very long. And you know why? Because every problem, in every trial, in every resistance, in every threat of danger, what do you want to do? You want to jump back out. And it's easy to jump back out. When you're in ankle-deep water, it's really easy just to jump back up on the shore. As soon as a little bit of resistance comes, you're like, it's easy to get back out. And that's a dangerous place to be. When you're all in and dangerous things happen, you just have to stay with the flow of the Spirit. You can't get out. We need to keep moving. We need to keep moving. The Christian life, by its very nature, is a life of movement. And it's a life of progress. And what happens when you quit moving? You start dying. No room, or there's no bottom to this river. There is no bottom to the river. It's unfathomable, to say it another way. It's incomprehensible. It's immeasurable, and it is endless. But the path to fullness and the path to the depths of the presence and glory is the path of sacrifice. It just is. There's no other way to get there. The Christ life will only manifest through you and me to the degree of the death, to the self-life. We can only grow to the degree that we are willing to die to ourselves. Every step into the river is a step into greater sacrifice and greater self-denial. As the flesh disappears through sacrifice, see, that's what happens. The more you sacrifice, the more the flesh disappears. And the more the flesh disappears, the Holy Spirit gains more pull and more influence over your life. And then when people look at you, they begin to see Jesus in you, and they begin to see Jesus through you. Friends, we got to keep moving. We got to keep walking. And as we walk, and as you walk, you forget what was behind you. And you reach and press for the mark and for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. What is the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? It's to possess Him and be possessed by Him. It is to be completely submerged in Him. That is the high calling. To be fully and completely submerged in Him, where there is no more flesh visible. Until we get to the point where it is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. That's the goal. That's the mark. That's our aim, to where we get to the point where we can say that it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. We got to keep moving. We got to keep moving. There's no place to stop. The river is deep. The river is wide. But you have to choose to move out into the river and move with the flow of the Holy Spirit, and not be willing to keep your feet planted on the ground so that you can control where you want to go and when you go there. And I want you to tell somebody, it doesn't matter how rough or how deep or how dark or how wide it gets, or how crazy it might seem, or how crazy it might look, or how crazy I may even feel at times, I'm going to keep moving. I want you to tell somebody that. I'm going to keep moving. And I want your life to reflect that. Because your life and other people's life depend on it. Think about that for a moment. Other people's life depend on it as well. Other people need to see your willingness to go so deep where you no longer have control of where you're going. Other people need to see the Spirit of God moving you into new depths, into new directions, into places that you wouldn't otherwise go on your own. I will close with this. There's one thing that I won't do. I won't quit. I won't soak and sour. I will keep moving. My life depends on it. My future depends on it. And somebody else's life depends on it. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this text. Love this text. I love this vision that Ezekiel has given to us. Lord, I thank you that he had the faithfulness to move from ankle-deep water to water that was so deep that he couldn't touch anymore. And then he was at the mercy of the Spirit of God taking him to wherever it wanted to take him. Oh, Lord, how it would be if we would all be willing to go deeper and deeper and deeper and keep moving till we reach the point in our lives where our feet are no longer on the floor. So your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, would just be able to take us where you want us to go. That we get to that point in our life that we no longer dictate where we're going, or we no longer dictate what we're seeing, or we no longer dictate what we're hearing. Because we've been willing to go so deep. Lord, I pray that we would be willing to continue to immerse ourselves in your Spirit, to the point where there is no flesh remaining. So that when others see us, they see you in us. Lord, I pray that you would give us the desire and the courage and the boldness to do that. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.